Welcome back, all the devotees. Good to see you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mahatmaji. Now the year starts on the opening. Not 2018, now it's different. Good to see you all. Good to come. This year is a very special year for the study of the Bhagavatam. We're going to the third section of Canto 10. The first section that we covered Krishna as a child. Second section that we covered previously, Krishna grew up into his Kishora age in Vrindavan. Now we're beginning this year, which will begin tomorrow night, with chapter 47. 47 means Krishna is now out of Vrindavan. So he's left Vrindavan. Tonight we're just going to recap, just so we can get ourselves in the time frame of where Krishna's pastimes are sitting. We'll go through chapters 24 to 45, 46, which is what we covered last year, just so we can get ourselves back into the headspace of where Krishna is. His pastimes. When Krishna came to earth, how long did he stay on the earth? How long? 125. So how long was spent in Vrindavan? 11 years. Yeah, first 11 years he was in Vrindavan. And how long in Mathura? 18 years. And then, we'll discuss that this year as we go through. Then Krishna, he shifts everyone, all of the Yadu dynasty, from Mathura to Dwarka. And then they live there for the remaining years. So, we've heard of Krishna, because be on time this year. Don't come right now. So, we've heard of Krishna in Vrindavan, and now tonight we'll begin from chapter 24. We'll do a recap. Prior to that, Krishna is very much in Kaumara age. And what is Krishna's Kaumara age? When he is, from when he's born until like 5 years old. Kaumara means like young boy, like the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras means young boy. So when Krishna is young, up until the first five years of his pastimes alone. Then, Paulganga, which we also heard about in the first section, and also leading into the second section. Paulganga means when Krishna is 5 until 10. So 5 to 10 means his boyhood pastime, when he's playing like a boy, and he's enjoying with his cowherd boyfriend. So in Kaumara age, which of the five rasas with Krishna is most prominent? Vatsalya. Vatsalya means? Parental. It's all of his pastimes when he's dealing with Mother Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda Maharaj. Primarily, and of all of the pastimes in the Kumara age, which is considered to be the pinnacle, Damodar Lila, when Krishna is stealing the butter from Mother Yashoda, from the butter pot, and then she chases him with a stick. For those in Vatsalya Ras, this is their highest ecstasy. that whole pastime. So which devotee is the highest devotee in Vatsalya Ras? Yashoda. Yeah. And then? Rohini. Rohini actually has more intense love for Krishna and Balaram, like Krishna, then even Nanda Maharaj. Then Nanda Maharaj, and then so Krishna up until the age of 5, and he is performing the Komara Lila, and then Paugandhya Lila means Sakyarasa Kona, which means Krishna with his character. That's from the age of 5 to 10. So we heard about that. Many of the pastimes are his killing the demons. Chapter 13 and 14 were pastimes again. Brahma Vimohan Lila. When he steals the Brahma steals the calves, Krishna's having a picnic, Krishna goes out and then the calves are stolen. That's all Paugandhya Lila in Krishna's that age. And then not long after that, he begins to enter into Kaishora Lila. Kaishora means when he gets from the age of 10 to 15. So even though he only spends 11 years in Vrindavan, but the final years he's in Kaishora age, because he ages more quickly than very auspicious, powerful people. They age more quickly than regular people. So they grow, it means in their youth they grow more quickly, they become more mature quickly. So Krishna, at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, and he was already in Kaishora Lila, which means he looked like he's 15 years old. By the time he left Vrindavan, he was only 10, but he looked like he was 15 and then very developed. So when he lifts Govardhan Hill, which is the pastime, so that's where we started last year, 1 year ago. We started with chapter 24, which is Govardhan Lila. Yeah, when Krishna lives in Govardhan Hill, right? Chapter 24 is called worshipping Govardhan Hill. So at that stage, Krishna is in, he's actually still in Paugandhya age. At the end of the Paugandhya age, he doesn't quite go into the Kaishora age. He's getting very close to that age. It said he looked like he was around about 11 years old. He'd been on earth for around about 8 years, but he looked like around about an 11 year old. But he was much taller. Because this was Dwapara Yuga, people were also taller. By the time Krishna got to 15, he was 7 foot tall. So that means when he lifted Govardhan Hill, he was maybe about 6 foot tall. So he's very tall for an 11-year-old boy, already 6 foot tall, very developed. So he lifts the hill. So that's the first chapter. So now we're getting an idea of his age, the time that he's in. Too late. Don't come late. This year, no late. Come. Everyone says sorry, but you're always late on your duty. What is wrong? So, Krishna is. We're getting an idea of his age. It's very important in the study of the Bhagavatam. Is that the 10th canto is called the Samambona. What do we call that in Sanskrit?
Ashraya.
What does Ashraya mean? Shelter. Like we have ashram. Grihastha ashram. Brahmachari ashram. Sannyasa ashram means shelter. Place of shelter. So, Ashraya, the 10th canto, Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto, it is called Ashraya. Ashraya means shelter. That's what we're studying for. We studied for so many years. Right? How long did it take us to get to the 10th canto? It was 12 years or something. It took us a long time. So that study to get to that point, finally we've arrived at Ashraya. This is like the shelter. This is the Samambona. This is the goal of our Krishna consciousness. The study of the 10th canto. Canto 1 and 2 represent Krishna's feet. Yeah. Canto 3 and 4? Legs. Thighs, legs. Right. 5 and 6? Midsection. 7 and 8? Chest, arms. 9? Neck. 10? Face. 11? Forehead. 12? The crown. And it says of the face, the most beautiful part of the face is the smile. And someone smiles, they become beautiful. Even an ugly person is beautiful when they smile. So Krishna's smile in the 10th canto is chapters 29 to 33, which is the rasa, which we'll hear about tonight. That's what we studied last year. So the pastimes appear very simple. It's just a young boy, not just a young boy obviously, but it's a young boy in the forest with his friends performing apparently, sometimes very ordinary apparently, pastimes. But there's something very deep in there which needs to be tapped into, which needs to be entered into. You enter into it by your consciousness. What is the qualification to enter into these pastimes?
Yeah.
Very good, yeah, to be free of what? Narottama Das Thakur says that. Vishaya, chariya, abe, means you have to reject sense gratification. If you reject sense gratification, then you can enter into Krishna's pastime, into Vrindavan. So this is mentioned specifically by Narottama Das Thakur. Another qualification is Shraddha. Like Narottama Das Thakur says, you must have faith. The deeper your faith, then you can enter these pastimes. Okay? And one must have sharana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says sharanagati. Sharana means surrender. Okay? Krishna speaks whole Bhagavad Gita. And then the charan shloki, which means like the top of the mountain, or the peak. Sarvadaman parichyatya. Mamekam. Sharanam Bhaja. Krishna says, surrender unto me. That is the goal. That's how we enter the 10th canto. When we're willing to give up anything in this material world for Krishna's pleasure. Bhagavad Thakur says, this is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means you must be willing to give up things that you're not normally willing to give up, and you must accept things you're not willing to accept. That is surrender. And if you're willing to do that, Krishna will accept it. And then these pastimes, they come to life. There is so much rasa in these pastimes. The section that we're reading at the moment, particularly what we read last year, the rasa lila, if one becomes qualified, one can enter into that, and there is unlimited mellow rasa, bhakti ras, amrita, sindhu. There is an ocean of nectar. So one has to become qualified to enter that nectar. So how do we become qualified? By surrender to Krishna. Right? Then we can get some taste of these pastimes. Right? So here, we're seeing these are the deepest pastimes of the Lord Himself. He's the Lord in Vrindavan. This year when we start, He's already left Vrindavan. Right? So we've already left Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is Krishna's home. Srila Prabhupada, where did he say his home was? He said Vrindavan, but specifically he said the Radha Damodar Mandir. He said that is his eternal home. You have to go and spend time there, and you can feel this is Prabhupada's home, you get realization. And this is where Prabhupada himself lived. And Prabhupada says that his home is Vrindavan. And I was reading actually. See if I can find it for you on WhatsApp. Anyone who knows me, Peter Tanya knows me better than anyone. Except my wife and my daughter, but he knows me better than anyone. And he can verify. I don't like WhatsApp and I don't like any of these things. But every day, the devotees send nice things. Quotes from Prabhupada. That's the only good thing about this. I was pretty much useless. There was a couple of days ago, there was one quote. Prabhupada says, I'll see if I can make this video. That's why I don't like this one. Okay. Prabhupada says, 5 plus 5 is equal to
10.
10. 2 plus 2 is equal to?
4.
And Prabhupada says, so Krishna plus everything is?
Vrindavan.
Vrindavan. You got this as well?
Mm-hmm. And then well, I didn't.
You're in the room. We'll get you on the list. And then Prabhupada says, do not forget Krishna. And you will always be in? It's a beautiful quote.
Beautiful quote.
The Prabhupada is saying, Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. And the Prabhupada says, do not forget Vrindavan. That is our challenge in the material world. Because the material world is designed for one thing. To make you forget Krishna. To make you forget Vrindavan. How Krishna conscious are we at the Australian Open?
I'm not looking at anyone. Krishna. I was thinking of Krishna when everyone was roaring at the players. I thought of him going into the arena.
The ring. This is Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
This is Krishna conscious.
And the blue sky.
No one else in that arena was thinking like that.
No, Rohini was with me. She was thinking too because I was telling her. No one else.
Two people in the whole arena. So this is the point. The whole world is made to. This material world is designed for one thing, to make us forget Krishna. Right? And we have to remember Krishna. That's why we're studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the whole purpose of this study, it's just to remember Krishna. It's not to pass the exam. The exams are important because they make you remember Krishna, because you have to study more. So that, and by studying more, you remember Krishna. That's why Prabhupada gave us exams. So the goal is, if you do all the study, you can get the top mark in the course. You can get back to Goloka Vrindavan, you can give Krishna your Bhakti Vedanta certificate and say, I got 83%. Krishna will not be impressed. No. Krishna is only impressed when you remember him, when you love him. And that is the goal of our study. So the reason we're studying this 10th canto, it's very deep. There's rasa within each and every word of the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. But to access that, you have to have the right consciousness. So that's what the 10th canon is for, is teaching us the right consciousness. The residents of Vrindavan, what is their consciousness? This is the deepest part of the Bhagavad Gita. Tomorrow we're going to begin chapter 47, right, where Krishna has left Vrindavan. And before I, 1 year ago, or 2 years ago, we started the 10th canto. So when we started the 10th canto, then I thought this is the most important part of my life. You know, after so many years, we're finally at the 10th canto. This is the goal. So we studied the first year. We got to chapter 23 or so, 24. And then, last year, we studied 24 to 46, and we got through the Rasa Leela and Krishna's most intimate pastime. And then in my heart, I was thinking the whole time, nothing will ever be as good as that. Now we're past that. Now everything else will not. But actually, it becomes more sweet. But only if our consciousness begins to understand the mood of separation of the residents of Vrindavan and the mood of separation of Krishna from the residents of Vrindavan. And in one sense, arguably, the deepest chapter in the entire Bhagavad Gita is the chapter we're beginning tomorrow. It's the highest ecstasy. Where a bumblebee flies into Vrindavan and sees Srimati Radharani. Right? And so far we've heard how many Gitas?
Four.
First one is?
Venu
Gita. Chapter 20?
One.
Very good. Then?
31.
31 is the Gopi Gita. Gopi Gita. Very good. Chapter 35 is the Viraha Gita, where the Gopis are going to separation from Krishna. And then
39
is the Yuga Gita, where they're also feeling separation from Krishna. And then tomorrow night, maybe not exactly tomorrow, but we begin the chapter in which the Brahma Gita, the song of the Bumblebee. Yeah, Brahmagi means the song of the bumblebee. So Radharani speaking, means song means when she speaks it is a song. Because she creates Sanskrit verses. When we speak, yeah, sometimes we're poetic, but Radharani, she speaks Sanskrit verses, a song, conversing with a bumblebee. And who is the bumblebee? It's actually Krishna. We'll learn that in the next few weeks. It's actually Krishna. Krishna takes the form of the bumblebee to come back to Vrindavan to see Srimati Radharani and to see the ecstasy of separation that she's feeling from him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada explains, he came to teach us Vipralamba Seva. Vipralamba Seva means service in separation. Right? Developing the mood of separation. Feeling separation from Krishna. That is the goal. Lord Chaitanya said this is the highest of all things. In the Shikshastika, the last three verses of Shikshastika, Yugayitam, Mishena, Chakshusha, Pravishayitam, Asasha, Bhapara, these verses are describing the highest level of Srimati Radharani's ecstasy, particularly the eighth verse, in which she's feeling separation from Krishna. Whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord. Birth after birth. Indicating she may not even see him again, but her love for him will not lessen. It will only grow and increase. That is pure bhakti. So that's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. So actually what we're studying this year, in one sense, it becomes even more relishable because we're understanding separation that Krishna is feeling from Radharani in the presence of Vrindavan and they are feeling from him. And the whole Bhagavatam, doesn't matter where Krishna goes and what he does, he's only thinking of one thing. Right? Srimati Radharani in the presence of Vrindavan. So all the Dwarka Leela is just Lord Jagannath himself, who is just down here. Right? Lord Jagannath is Krishna in Krishna in Kurukshetra, which we'll hear about, not this year, but next year by Krishna's mercy. It is Krishna in Kurukshetra feeling separation from the residence of Vrindavan. But all these pastimes, I'm going to understand this one thing. And it's very interesting, because tomorrow I think it's someone's birthday. Who is that? Who?
Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda. Balaram, Narottam Das Thakur says, Balaram, Hoilo, Nitai. Balaram became? Nityananda. They are not different. Rajendra Nandana, say? Rajendra Nandana became Sachusutta, the son of Mother Sachi. Lord Chaitanya is non different from Krishna. Balaram is non different from Lord Nityananda. Actually, because tomorrow night, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, if we begin the Brahmagita, the song of the bumblebee, Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur says, it is only by Lord Nityananda's mercy that we develop any qualification to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But it's only by his mercy, otherwise we can't understand. You have to enter into the mercy, enter into the mood of Lord Nityananda. Right? Understand his mood of being the Ashraya Vigraha, or the mood of being the servant of God. Right? And then we can understand the pastimes of Radha. So actually all these things are by Krishna's arrangement. Right? When you sit back and look at your life. Every year I like to go to one place in India called Govardhan. And at that place, I like to go and be with two great souls. Many great souls, but two in particular. One is called Sachinandan Swami. The other one is called His Grace Guru Jambu. So many years I've gone and sat with them and just listened. And they're my gurus. So they're teaching me how to understand Krishna. And Krishna's passed on to Vrindavan. And one time, Satchinandan Swami told us that Virajan Prabhu instructed him. And he said that in Vrindavan you have to learn to relax. Do you understand this? You have to meditate very deeply. These sound like simple words, but actually there's very deep meaning to these words. Relax means you just have to sit back and you have to rely on Krishna. Accept Krishna's dictation. In our lives as devotees, we have to accept Krishna's dictation. All the time we're trying to make our own dictation. No, I want it like this, I want it, I want this job, I want to do this, I want to change career, I want to... Krishna has his own plan. And you can try all you want, but if he allows, or if he gives permission, then everything takes place. And if he doesn't, you can try all you want, but nothing will change. But relax means we have to just accept Krishna's dictation, his control. He's the controller. In Vrindavan, the Bridge Buses, they have a saying, they say, no permission, no admission. You can't get into Vrindavan without permission. So if you don't have permission, there's no admission. So we can't get into Vrindavan without, so we have to relax and accept Krishna's will. So Krishna is arranging. Tomorrow we're planning to start the Song of the Bumblebee, the most, possibly the deepest part of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's Lord Nityananda's appearance. But none of this can be by Krishna's, without Krishna's sanction. If we meditate on these things, we'll understand the depth of these pastimes. So, last year we began chapter 24. Chapter 24 was the worship of Govardhana. Very sweet. Because this is where Krishna's intimate pastimes take place. Now, Govardhana Lila is unique. What is unique about Govardhana Lila?
It has all the rasas in it.
Very good. Yeah. It's one place under that hill for 7 days and seven nights. Krishna was exchanging all of the rasas simultaneously in one place. This does not take place usually, and not to the extent that it took place. And why did Krishna lift the hill? There was an external reason and an internal reason. Externally, we know that he was
protecting the
residents of Vrindavan and humbling Indra, destroying the pride of Indra. But the internal reason was because the Vrijvasis had a desire that they wanted to be with him day and night. Right? Many of the bridge buses, the gopis, they could be with him most of the night, but not during the day. And the cowherd boys, they could be with him most of the day, but not during the night. So everyone had this desire. So for 7 days and seven nights, he fulfilled everyone's desire. You can be, and everyone, it is said, they just looked at him for 7 days and seven nights. And they fully satisfied their desire just to be with him. And it said that everyone forgot to eat and drink. Right? Eating and drinking was going on, but everyone was so absorbed, they were satisfied. Now the unique thing about Krishna's pastimes, he fulfilled their desire, they wanted to be with him day and night, but they were frustrated while they're under the hill because they couldn't do anything for him. Because he was just standing like this all the time. So there wasn't any, he couldn't run over to them or play with them or, he couldn't move. So they were frustrated. So they kept in their desire, they wanted to serve him. So he fulfilled one desire, but then on another level. So that is the nature of Krishna's pastimes. And if you get involved with Krishna, which we all are now, And now you can't escape. That's it. The contract's signed. There's no escape. Even if you try to escape, right, he just comes. You know, you're running away, he's already there waiting for you. And you get there, he's like, oh no, you're here. And you run away and then you know, you can't escape. That's the nature of the pastime of Krishna. That's the nature of the relationship. So now we're in that relationship. Yeah? You'll see, if you study the Bhagavad Gita very carefully, you'll understand the kind of person he is. He likes to stir everyone's emotions constantly. So even though everyone's with him, but then he arranges that they feel dissatisfied. Simultaneously ecstatic because they're with him, but simultaneously there's desires that are unfulfilled in their heart. And when they were outside of the hill, they could serve him, but then they had a desire that they wanted to be with him all the time. That's just the nature of Krishna consciousness. It's always going to be like that. But when you get back to the spiritual world, don't think you're going to be peaceful and happy all the time. Because by Krishna's arrangement, he's called Rasa Raj, or Rasika Shekha, which means he just stimulates rasa all the time. So he convinced everyone, he convinced Nanda Maharaj, why are you worshipping Indra? And what did Nanda Maharaj say? What was the reason he gave? He said, this is tradition. He said, we've been doing it for generations. This is what we do in this village. Many of you are from India, right? So you probably know in your village or your town, there's some tradition. You've been doing it, your family's been doing it for generations. And maybe you don't even understand why we do it. But we just do it, it's part of our tradition. So that was the tradition. We worship Indra. But then Krishna said, and it's unique, because Krishna was only 11 years old. So if an 11-year-old comes to you and says, okay, let's change everything that we're doing tomorrow, the whole village, and let's do something else, then what will you say? He'll say no. You're going to come just, you know, one child comes and says, oh, you know, we should change everything. No, this child was so powerful that the whole village moved and changed the whole direction and used all the paraphernalia and, you know, a great deal of wealth and facility and paraphernalia. They used it for another purpose. That shows Krishna's potency. So, he convinced them all. And then, there's chapter 25, because chapter 24, they worship Govardhan Hill. And when they worship Govardhan Hill, the hill takes a mountainous man form on top of the hill, which was said to be like a man mountain. That was the personification of Giriraj. Non-different from Krishna. And he sat there on top of the hill and he asked for all of the offering. And then after they fed him, we know the pastime, we went into detail last year, they fed him. And then at the end, he was still unsatisfied, Lord Balaram gave him a tulsi leaf. And when he ate the tulsi leaf, he said, "Tip tulsi, now I am satisfied." And then it describes that then he sat on the hill, this giant, sat on the hill, and then the Brijbasi all took their prasad. So they were all, and Nanda Maharaj was serving everyone, and he was just sitting there with a big smile, looking at everyone. And once in a while, they would all look up at him, this big form of hero, like a giant sitting on the hill. When they first saw the giant appear on the hill, the Brijbasis were fearful. They thought he was going to eat them. Very fearful. But then soon, they understood his mood. And when they understood his mood, everyone relaxed. And they understood, actually, he is here to protect us. And they developed a very sweet mood with Giriraj. And after that, they developed a sweet mood. So then the giant entered back into the hill. And then at the end of the festivities, they worshipped the cows, the brahmanas. And then Krishna said, now let us circumambulate the hill. Yeah. Has anyone ever circumambulated Govardhan Hill? Has anyone ever walked the whole way? Yeah. Has anyone ever been on the back of the ritual? Yeah. It says it doesn't matter how you go around, as long as you go around. even if you're laying on the provincial. So some went around on the carts, and some went around walked. And it says as they were going around, Radharani, she was back further. Krishna was at the front with a big crowd of devotees. Krishna was at the front, Radharani was at the back. Not the back, but further back. She couldn't see him directly. But he had a stick, you know, the stick they used for the cow. So he was twirling it. And he was throwing it into the air, twirling it, and then he was coming in and he was catching it. You can imagine like the best, like you go to the circus, and you see the best jugglers and everything, that's Krishna. So he was throwing it up, you know, to show Radharani, I'm here. You know, so he'd throw it up and she would see where he was, and then he was, you know, like that. So he was enjoying the pastime. And then when they came back around, they finished circumambulating. It was night time, so everyone took rest. And then Radha and Krishna, for the first time, they both woke up. Well, they didn't go to sleep, but everyone else slept by the arrangement of Yogamaya. They went up to the hill, found some caves, went into the caves and enjoyed pastimes. And then they came back and pretended they were sleeping, and then everyone else woke up and said, oh, and then pastimes continued. So then, the next day was, what's the name of the festival where the brother and the sister worships each other?
Jamuna and Yamraj.
That festival. It's actually called another name as well, but I can't remember what the name is. So the brothers and the sisters, they all did the festival the next day. So Srimati Radharani worshipped and bowed down to her brother, Sri Dharma. Right? And Krishna's cousin's sister, not his, he doesn't have a sister, his cousin, she worshipped him. And there was beautiful exchange. Everything was very peaceful. Everyone was very happy in Vrindavan. But someone got upset. His name was?
Indra.
Indra. So then he decided to attack Vrindavan. He became very angry. And then it rained for 7 days and?
7 nights.
Right? And then Krishna was forced to pick up the hill. And when he picked it up, he held the hill and he called everyone under. And everyone was very frightened. And Giriraj, the mountain, he was roaring. You know, like the sound of an earthquake. So he was making a noise like, because he was in ecstasy, because Krishna's holding him. So he's making this noise like, you know, when someone becomes very ecstatic, they say, so then, Giriraj, so everyone, Krishna was saying, come. Giriraj is making this noise, everyone was very scared. The Giriraj quietened down, and then they all went under. Right? And then Krishna, he was holding the hill. Right? And it said the hill was, from where they were standing, Krishna was holding, it was like a piece of earth came down and Krishna was holding like that. But then the actual bottom of the hill was 30 meters. So it was like a huge cavern, like a mountain. And under that, under the hill, there were fields of barley for the cows. Big fields. And the cows all came under and they were wandering through the field. They said there were fountains where water was coming out. Everyone could go and drink water. Right? And there were jewels everywhere on the bottom of Giriraj. It said if they looked up to him, like underneath, it looked like a peacock's feather, all the jewels, all peacock's tail. All the jewels in the mountain. And all those jewels were shining, so everything was light. And Krishna was effulgent, so there was no darkness under there. So everyone was blissful for 7 days. It was very warm. It said there was a very soft breeze. Right? Everything was warm, everyone was comfortable. Everything was very blissful. And then outside, right, there was a storm raging. The Indra thought he was killing everything because they couldn't see any light. His servants were flying down and looking. As they flew down and looked, they'd come back to Indra and say, did you see any cows? that I can't see any cows, we must have killed them all. But all the cows were under the hill. And even the animals who are living on Govardhan Hill, Krishna had like a, what we call a force field, like a magical field protecting, so the rain wasn't actually hitting them. And then Giriraj went up through the clouds, he was actually, and many of the animals went up on top, above the clouds where it was raining. They were in a very nice, and the sun was there, and it was very nice and comfortable and dry. So there was no discomfort, even though Indra was trying his best. So you can try your best to disturb the devotees, but Krishna will always protect the devotees. Even externally, it looks like the devotee is going through. Actually, you cannot disturb a real devotee. You cannot be disturbed. So then,
you have to be a pure devotee.
What is that?
You have to be a pure devotee.
Yeah, you have to be a pure devotee. What's that?
It's difficult to become a pure devotee.
Prabhupada said, why you are not a Paramahamsa? Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't got that much.
But then Prabhupada said, why are you not a Paramahamsa?
Because the material nature itself.
Yeah, but we can, if we want to, we can become Paramahamsa. We can fully surrender to Krishna if we want to. Nothing is stopping us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but...
Other thing is, I thought he lifted the door and then had this appropriate sister for it. Because all the people were there with him, but they could just see in the evening or morning.
All those bridge buses, especially the gopis. Especially the gopis. All the bridge buses. So then, Indra, he became very remorseful. And then he came and apologized to Krishna. Yeah. Krishna put the hill down. Indra came with Surabhi, the heavenly cow. And when Krishna sees the cows, how does he become? He becomes soft-hearted. Yeah. Krishna can't be angry when the cows are there. So Indra was forgiven. But then actually, Indra went away later on and he said to Surabhi, I still feel like I've offended Krishna. He said, come, I know a place we can go where we can perform austerities and we can destroy all of our offences. And where is that place? Yeah, Godrungri in Mayapur. On the other side of the Jalangi, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is, that place. That's where Indra and Surabhi did their austerities. That place is very powerful. And that place is not different from an underground. Krishna's village, his own home. So then, the next chapter is called Wonderful Krishna. What takes place in Wonderful Krishna? In that chapter? The Brijbasis just begin to speak about him. They say he's done this thing, he's done that thing, he killed that demon, and they're just overwhelmed. Someone's just held a mountain for 7 days and seven nights. Right? And the whole time he's just twirling a lotus flower in between his hands. So they're just, everyone is amazed. Who is this boy? He lives with us in the village. Right? He's part of our village. The next chapter after that is called Lord Indra and Mother Surabhi Offer Prayers. So it's a little bit later. A few days take place, Krishna's put the hill down. Then Indra comes back. Right? And there's a place at Govardhan Hill called Govindakund where Surabhi and all the demigods and Krishna, Krishna is worshipped by all the demigods. Indrakund, yeah, but Govindakund, where they all worship him together. Yeah, different kund. But the main kund is Govindakund. And Krishna was worshipped by all the demigods, and when they left, the cowherd boys, they came, and then they began to worship him and picked up all the adi there. Hey, Govinda! Hey! Worship him. Hey, you're not so big. Some of them came and sat on the throne with him. All the demigods were like this. Indra was, you know, with tears in his eyes. Indra was, you know, waving the chamara and doing the aarti. You know, when Indra left, the cowboy was just, you know, sitting on the throne with him. You know, you can worship Krishna, you can worship, but everyone's just enjoying themselves. And then all the demigods are looking down, they're saying, these boys are just, you know, like this. We're like shaking in front of this boy. We're like, you know, Purusha Sukta. Everyone, and offering prayers. And the boys are just playing with them. So they understood they had no love for Krishna. And the bridge buses have complete love for Krishna. That's why the bridge buses, that's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. The bridge buses are more exalted and more powerful than anyone. In the mornings when Krishna goes out with the cows and all the cowherd boys are there, Madhu Mangala is there, Krishna's funny friend, and he looks up and the demigods, they fly around watching behind the clouds. As Krishna's walking out, they're all watching. What's that? And then he sees, Madhu Mangala says, oh, there's one guy, he's got five heads. Like Rudra, Lord Shiva. And he's very scared riding on a bull. And all the cowboys, they just laugh. They say, that's just Lord Shiva. You know? And they just wave at him. How do you walk? And keep going. And Madhu Mangala goes, I knew it was Lord Shiva. Everyone is safe, I am here. So the Mudra Vrindavan. Mudra Vrindavan is very intimate. It's not easy to get to the Mudra Vrindavan, but that is our goal. That is Lord Chaitanya's gift. It is Lord Nityananda's gift to all the devotees in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda can you understand Radha and Krishna. That's what they want us to understand. We have to become qualified. So then, chapter 28 is called Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj from the abode of Varuna. Right? So what happened to Nanda Maharaj? We have to take bath early in the morning on the Ekadashi. Entered the Jamuna early. And some of it, Varuna's servants came, they grabbed him, they took him to Varuna's court. Right? And then when the coward man cried out, they said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Almighty Arm, Krishna, Krishna, come. So Krishna appeared there. He said, what happened? They said, they just took your father into the Jamuna. So Krishna dove deep in and he went down. And he found Varuna. And he said, where is my father? But he was being worshipped very nicely by Varuna. Varuna said, it was not me, it was my servants. Please forgive me. And there was a great mistake. But Krishna understood the whole pastime. And he brought his father back. And then the cowherd men, when they heard it, they said, where did you go? What happened? He said, oh, I was stolen by Varuna's servants and I went to Varuna's kingdom. Who is this boy? You know, demigods are worshipping, they said, and he said, Varuna was worshipping him. Right? And they said, who is the boy? Right? So then they begin to, and they actually say to Krishna, we live with you every day. Right? You do all these pastimes, but we live with you every day. What will be our destination? Where will we go when we die? Right? And Krishna says, do you want to see Vaikuntha? I said, yes, and he shows them like Buddha, the spiritual world. What it is like there. Actually, he shows them Aishwarya, the world. It's not where they come from. They're much higher than this. They're much higher than the Vaikuntha Aishwarya. So then, we have the next chapter, which is chapter 29, which is the beginning of the Rasa Lila. Chapter 29 is Krishna and the gopis meet for the Rasa dance. The Rasa dance has four elements. Rasa Lila. What are the four elements of Rasa Lila? Remember from last year, we described it. Rasa Lila means there's four components to what we call Rasa Lila. The pastime has four components.
Dancing, Jalakrida, water pastimes in the forest, and intimate pastimes between the gopis.
There's four things. Rasa Lila means entering the forest, just wandering. Krishna and the gopis, just wandering through the forest. And you're here in the pastime, they just wander together. And they're laughing and joking and enjoying. Then there is the actual dance, which is what generally we call Rasa Lila, which means the dancing on the bank of the Jamuna. Then, after the dancing, there is Jalkeri. They enter into the Jamuna, they swim, and they have water fights. And then there is entering into the Kunjas, where Krishna goes individually with each gopi, and he performs conjugal pastimes in the Kunjas. So these are the four elements to the Rasa dance, the Rasa Lila. So Krishna, we're hearing that first chapter, he becomes enchanted by the Vrindavan forest. And when he sees the moon rises. Every night in the spiritual world, the moon is Purnima, full. And it is reddish. You know, you go to India, when the sun comes up, it's red. You know, in Australia, that doesn't happen. It's yellow, or bright. But in India, it's red. You know, when I'm in Puri, I always chant on the roof. You know, in the Bila guest house in the morning, I'm chanting my japa. And then the sun rises, and it's red. Much better. Everything in India is better. As long as you don't plug it in.
Well, you can ask the
not like in India. Yes. Not the same colour. And it lasts for a long time. As it comes up, like reddish. So when the moon comes up, it's reddish. Full moon. So then Krishna sees the reddish, the amorous moon. Right? And it stirs up conjugal feelings in him. So he enters into the forest and he plays his flute and he calls the gopis. And the gopis come. And when they come, they arrive and they're full of excitement. Krishna called us. When he played his flute, he calls the name of every gopi. Right? He says, Radha, Lalite, Vishake, come. So they all come. And then when they all arrive, he says, what are you doing here?
Why are you coming?
I didn't call you. What are you doing here? This is dangerous. You shouldn't have come at night time by yourself. Why would you do like this? What is your reason for coming here? Better you go home. And they begin to cry. And with their toes, they begin to draw pictures on the ground. Right? And they become angry. And they say to him, why did you call us? And then you're telling us to go. But when because if you call someone, they arrive. There's another saying they have in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the bridge buses say, no joke, no life. You know, you ask someone to come, and then you say, oh, for who you came, it's so nice you came. It's better you say, why did you come? What are you doing here? Who called you anyway? Every time you come, you just eat too much. Right? You don't leave any sweets for me. It's so much more rustle. So Krishna is like that, he always turns to us. Right? And then the next chapter is the Gopi song of separation, the Gopi Gita, because after he plays with them, then they wander through the forest, and they wander through the forest together, but after wandering through the forest, then what does Krishna do? He disappears. But he only stays with one Gopi. Which Gopi? And then what does he do to her? Disappear. Why does he disappear? Huh? Because they become proud. Krishna is like when the devotees come proud. You know why he disappeared from Radharani? Because she became proud. Right? Why did she become proud? Because it was only her with Krishna. That's not the reason. That's what everyone thinks is the reason. She thought all the other gopis are suffering because they're not with him. So if I become proud, he will leave me as well, and then they'll find me, and I'll be able to help pacify them. And then we'll be able to find him together. She doesn't have any trace of selfishness within her consciousness. All of us are just thinking of ourselves all the time. And we look at all of us, we just think of ourselves all the time. She doesn't think like that. She became proud on purpose, knowing that he would leave. That's how it was altered her consciousness. We can't even understand. Until we understand something of this, we can't enter this pathway. So then, chapter 31 is the song of separation of Gopi Gita. Because they all find each other, they find Radharani, they sit down, and they begin to cry, and they just sing songs. Every night in Vrindavan, you know, in the hall in the back of the temple, Lokanath Swami and everyone, they sing the Gopi Gita. Right? And that's the mood of the gopis calling Krishna. Right? So the Gopi Gita, they all sang, and Krishna, it says in the Bhagavad, in Krishna Chakra, it says he was just on the other side of the bush. There was a bush there, they were all there, and he was just there, he was just listening. Two reasons. One, he wanted to feel how much love they had for him. And two, he wanted to exalt them and make everyone in the universe understand they were the greatest of all of his devotees. So then he comes back. The next chapter 32 is called the reunion. He comes back. They're very angry with him. So it says that when he comes back, the Bhagavad Gita says, he comes back in his most attractive form. Because he's in trouble. Like when the husband comes home and he knows he's in trouble, so he comes in and he dresses nicely and he's very, and then the competition begins. You know, to break that man of the gopis, right? Because they're angry. And he's so attractive and so powerful, in a few moments, they forget the whole thing. Just by his smile, he says, I didn't mean it, and you're right. Right? But because he's stirred up so much separation and he's created such tension, now, until he gets them to that point where they're in their deepest levels of emotion, he says, now let's dance. Because if he didn't do all that, the Rasa Leela would not have the same impact or potency. Well, Krishna's expertise. So we have to understand all this. This is how it operates. The spiritual world operates in a very particular way. And Krishna's testing all of us right now. If you want to enter there, you have to be unconditional. Ahoitiki apratihata. Unconditional. Because when you get there, he's going to test you like anything. It's not like when you get there, it's all peaceful and it's, you know, whatever you go through down here, it's millions of times more intense up there. It drives the devotees insane. Right? And then he just comes back and he says, oh, we see the whole time. What's the problem? Right? So he just pulls on everyone's emotions continuously. And down here, he's just testing all of us. Putting us through severe tests just to see, do we still love him? Right? Whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord, unconditionally. That's bhakti. That's what he's testing all of us. He wants to see. So, chapter 34, Nanda Maharaj saved and Sankachuda slain. So, Maharaj Nanda was stolen by Varuna and then he was swallowed by a serpent. So Krishna delivers him. And then he slays Sankachuda. Sankachuda, that's an interesting pastime. He's actually Sridhara. Radharani's brother got cursed. Radharani cursed in the spiritual world. Oh, you are saying that, you will become a demon. And then he said, you are cursing me. Then when you go to the material world, you will have 100 years separation from Krishna. So, you know, what a curse. That's why when Radharani, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, she can't see him for 100 years. She does see him. She does see him. But on another level, separated for 100 years. And he had to become a demon, Shankarachuda, and then he stole the gopis. The rasa dance, Balaram and Krishna were having a rasa dance together at Govardhan Hill, near the Ratna Simastan, not far from Kusum Sarovar. Right? And then Shankarachuda came and took the gopis. It's a big pastime. Okay. Then, chapter 35, the gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest. It's called the Yugala Gita. Very beautiful. Feeling separation, describing his beauty. This is the chapter you read if you want to enter into conjugal ras, Madhurya ras. If you want to understand it, you must read that chapter, you'll understand it. Perfect. Chapter 36, the slaying of Arishtasura. What takes place in that pastime? Who appears? Radhakun and Shamakun. The Radhakun and Shamakun that come, and then it's not long before Krishna leaves Vrindavan. Chapter 37, the killing of Keshi and Vyoma. Keshi was like the last attempt by Kamsa. And then Narada actually comes to Kamsa and he says, it doesn't look very good for you. And he comes and says, no problem. I can take care of these people. Don't worry. I've got Keshi left, I've got Vyoma left. And if Krishna does come in Mathura, I've got Kuvalaya feed. It's okay, I've got him under control. That's a weeping. That's okay, I've got him under control. But Krishna wants to. So then, chapter 38, Akrura's arrival in Vrindavan. Akrura comes, and when the gopis see the chariot, right, they go mad. And then the rumor comes out around Vrindavan that Krishna is going to Mathura. Right? And then Radharani, she faints. Right? And then Krishna, we described this last year, Krishna immediately, when he hears of Radharani's position, he just appears. Just right there. Right? And she's just sitting there, and tears are just falling down her face. And she says, why are you going? Why are you leaving? She won't even look at him. She just cries, why are you leaving? And then he says, I have to go. I'll just be a few days. He says, no, you won't come back. Very, very deep, deep, deep pastime. And then, Akrura's vision. In the next chapter, Akrura takes, and there's a whole pastime when he's taking the gopis. Right, he's taking Krishna and the gopis beat him and you hear the whole pastime. And then Akrura goes out and then at that point at Akrura Ghat, on the edge of Vrindavan, between Vrindavan and Mathura, on the border, then Vasudeva Krishna leaves and then the original Krishna, Prabhupada says, goes into the hearts of the Vrindavan, a different thing. Chapter 40. The prayers of Akrura. Akrura offers prayers to Krishna when he sees, in the mood of Aishwarya. 41. Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. So the whole pastime when they enter Mathura. Very enjoyable. But we must remember, this is why we're doing this class tonight, we must remember what we're discussing in these chapters and what we begin tomorrow night. Krishna's only just left Vrindavan. He is still in a very intense emotional state. Krishna fainted when Akrura took him out. The Balaram had to hold him. He was unconscious as he left. So even though he's entering Mathura, his heart is burning with separation from Radharani and the Vrindavan. It's a very intense situation taking place. Even though we're going slowly in one sense when we study it, but we have to understand in Krishna's time frame, it's just a few days. very intense emotional situation which Krishna is experiencing. Then we hear the breaking of the sacrificial bowl. Krishna walks in. How big is the bowl? It's 70 feet long from memory. It's like, you know, from that wall to the other side of Prabhupada House practically. Big bowl. Lord Shiva's bowl. Krishna just picks it up. Actually, it says one hand. Throws it in the air. Grabs it. Strings it. And just, it snaps the whole thing in half. And the pastime goes on and on. Then Krishna kills Kuvalaya Pee. Krishna and Balaram play with Kuvalaya Pee. Krishna grabs the trunk. Balaram grabs the tail. Right? Balaram is pulling the tail of Kuvalaya Pee. Krishna is pulling his trunk. The elephant's going. And they kill him. They rip out the tusks. They put the tusks on their shoulders. They walk into the arena. They walk right up. Kamsa sitting up there. Right? On the dais, on the simasan. They just walk up, they grab the tusks, and they just smash them into the ground. They don't even look at him, and they just walk off. That's a great insult. Someone walks into your home, smashes something in the ground, just walks out, doesn't even look at you. Yeah, their mood is, what are you going to do? So they are playing with Kamsa. Chapter 44, the killing of Kamsa. Finally, Krishna kills him, jumps up, and drags his body around the arena. Chapter 45, Krishna rescues his teacher's son, so then Krishna becomes a brahmachari, and he goes and lives in Sandipani Muni's ashram, which is in Ujjayi, which is Bhakti Churu Swami's temple in Ujjayi, at that place. Krishna goes there for 64 days. 64 days, he learns everything from his guru. He only has to be taught something once. How many times do we have to be taught something? Too many times. And even when we are taught, still we don't understand it. But, Krishna, one time, everything. So 64 days, complete. So he says to his Guru Maharaj, what do you want as Dakshina? His Guru Maharaj says, I want my son back. His son is Madhu Mangala, right? Krishna's friend. He'd been stolen by a demon. So he went and got him, brought him back and gave him to his teacher. The pastimes go on and on. Chapter 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan. That's what we finished on last year. Uddhava, Krishna's most intimate friend. And when someone is very dear to you, it's called Sukrit. And your best friend, anyone who's your closest friend. Krishna wanted Uddhava, he's sending to Vrindavan because he wanted Uddhava. Uddhava was the most learned person, disciple of Brihaspati. He was the greatest devotee in Dwarka and Mathura. But he wanted him to understand the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So he sent him to Vrindavan. And tomorrow night will begin. The song of the bumblebee. So Uddhava, he met Nanda Maharaj, he met Mother Yashoda, he has seen their emotional state, but tomorrow night he will see the state of the gopis. Srila Prabhupada ki.